Our scripture lesson today is taken from the New Testament book of Romans, the letter to the church in Rome, as written by Paul, chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart, and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we invite you to be here this morning, knowing that your word proclaims where two or three gather in your name that you are present. And our invitation extends with the words where we say, Lord, be in our hearts, be in our lives, be our God, be our Redeemer, as individuals and as your church. Let us be sensitive to what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our words of scripture today are taken from the book of Romans. This is an epistle. It's a letter. And sometimes people ask me, how is an epistle different than some of the other books of the Bible? Different only in how they are presented and in what period of time. In the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came through the law, through Moses in the Pentateuch. There are other examples of the word being spoken that people might receive them. Words of prophecy, words of poetry. The words of gospel that teach us of the life of Christ. And then there's the epistles. The epistles come to us with a warmth that I would compare to being a grandparent. When you're a parent, you have a lot of things on your plate in raising your kids, and you know this. You're working, you try to make ends meet, you're taking care of house and job and so forth, doing parenting. When you're a grandparent, you have a little more experience, a little more time, and the ability to give warmth and support. The epistles are sort of like that. One theologian described epistles as being sort of like a special delivery from God, a letter from God giving us words of encouragement and warmth. There's something to be said for looking at those books and understanding them that way. Bob Russell is the name of a pastor who, in his retirement, I think wrote his most significant works, at least for me, because his works in retirement have been directed towards pastors with words of encouragement and words from his experience that he shared. Bob Russell tells a story about when he was a younger man and his father was living in Pennsylvania and passed away. But Bob went to be there for the funeral, and it snowed the night before. He said miserable conditions. The snow was so deep that the procession from the church to the cemetery, no one could go. Only the pallbearers who had to go. And so 5-6 of them loaded up onto a four-wheel drive, made their way to the cemetery, plodded through that snow for the final words at the graveside. And Bob Russell said just something didn't seem right about that. That his dad's final resting place on a day would be covered with snow and the skies black and everyone cold. And in the midst of feeling unhappy about that, he was comforted by the Spirit of God. And the reminder that where the spirit is absent from the body, the spirit is in the loving arms of God. And he thought about his dad being with God, and it changed his whole demeanor that the moment and the condition of the moment didn't take away from the fact that he felt the loving arms of God around him as he envisioned those arms being around his father. Sometimes it's in those cold moments or those difficult times that we see glimpses of God all the better. I can think of the battlefield as being perhaps life's harshest place. And the story, as told by Chuck Helginger, a missionary who wrote about the battlefield in World War II, and a story that happened like this. The American forces were facing a field. They had hoped to advance. There was no sign of the Germans on the other side. And so they sent their scouts low to the ground and working their way through the field to see if it were safe to advance the rest of the troops. And this field, about 200 yards in length, one of those scouts was a man named Bert. And as Bert recounts his story, he went out about 100 yards into the field, could see nothing. It could see nothing of the enemy. And so he motioned to the officer in charge that he thought things were safe. And as soon as the American troops got up from their places of safety to advance, then bullets, gunfire from the end of the field 200 yards away began to be directed at the Americans, and bullets were flying back and forth. Bert was hit in both legs and fell to the ground. And with that, the American troops retreated back into their holes, and gunfire was going back and forth. But the story that Bert tells, and if we can put ourselves in his place, he's lying in the middle of a field, bullets in both legs. He cannot walk. His weapon at a distance where he fell, and feeling helpless. And as the bullets were going back and forth, wondered what his fate would be. And then he looked toward the German lines, and he saw a German soldier who had crawled out of his hole and was crawling towards Bert. And as Bert laid there, he had this thought. How many people know when their day comes for them to die? And Bert said, today is the day that I'm going to die. And he closed his eyes and prepared himself for his death. And with his eyes closed and waiting, nothing happened. And then he opened his eyes, and there was that German soldier kneeling, looking at him, and smiling. As recorded by the soldiers that day, the German soldier picked up Bert, and all the gunfire stopped, coming from both sides. The German soldier carried Bert to the American lines and dropped him off with the American soldiers, and then simply stood up, looked at the Americans, turned towards his own lines, and in all confidence simply walked back to the German lines. And not a single shot was fired by either side. There's a scripture from Romans, also written by Paul, that says this: "But God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were yet enemies that Christ died for us." That's one version of the Bible. In our separation from God, self-imposed, the word in one translation is enemies. Like in this story, Bert discovered his enemy that day wasn't his enemy. Other versions say, "But God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us." Another translation says it this way: "But God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were yet helpless, while we were yet helpless, that Christ died for us." The Apostle Paul himself was an enemy of the faith. He was persecuting the believers. He had the authority to do that from the chief priests, those in charge of the Jewish faith, and he was persecuting all those who claimed faith in Christ. When, as you know, he and those men traveling with him on the road were encountered by a great light, and they fell to the ground and could not see. And in those moments, Paul said to the light, "Who are you? Who are you?" And the voice came back from God saying, to Paul, with his instructions about what was happening and how God was changing his life for a purpose that moment, he heard this: "You are to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light." As the voice was instructing him that he was being sent to the Gentile believers. And he was also told that though Jews and Gentile alike would want to harm you, I am sending you. You are to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So that through their faith in me, they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's people." How does that happen? That we are called to turn those around who are on one course of life and to bring them to God. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of Life, says this about turning one's life to God. He said, the willpower is no match. The willpower is no match for the course of one's life. Heaney Arnold wrote in his book, Freedom from Sinful Thoughts, that we cannot purify ourselves. And this is what Paul takes with that. He takes the basic understanding of sin, and this is the basic understanding we all have. What is sin? Sin is that which we do that separates us from God. We know that God's love is there for us all the time. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Scripture says. We can pull ourselves away. We can keep God at arm's distance. We think of sin in ways of us pushing God away. Sin is also that which we do that hurts other people. Sin is also that which we do that hurts ourselves. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:1 that in Christ we have the freedom to overcome. We get the ability to do what the will cannot do, to do what perseverance cannot do. In the book of Romans that our scripture comes from today, the word righteousness is used 35 times. It was used in our passage today. And it is used as a gift. Righteousness is a gift from God. Because we cannot achieve that on our own. It's in Christ that we receive the gift of forgiveness and we are made righteous in the sight of God. Last night at our Sabbath service, we had a different service from this one here today, but as part of the service, there was a response to a previous sermon where we looked at the Great Commission, where Jesus commissioned the disciples to go forth and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it dawned on me as I was preaching that not everybody in the church has had that opportunity. We often assume that everyone has. And so we did a baptism service at the Sabbath service last night, and five people spontaneously came forward to be baptized. And in that they were saying, I stand to make my statement and make it publicly that I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I choose to stand among those who have said yes to Christ. And I choose to be open to where God will lead me. And we celebrated. Paul also says that the reason he does what he does and writes what he writes, the reason for that is because of the love and compassion on his heart for others. The scripture says that Paul condemned the Jews and the Gentiles who rejected Christ. He condemned them with his words. Because of religious attitudes. Condemn the attitude is what I meant to say. Condemn the attitude and not the person. Paul made it clear. They are neither Greek nor Gentile. I mean, we are all in need of the love of God. Paul, who was Jewish and had been trained by the great philosophers of his day, was being sent by God to speak to the Gentiles, those non-Jewish persons. And Paul's approach was simply this. It doesn't matter if you're Jew. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile. The Lord has something for you. The Lord has forgiveness for you and a new freedom. He says in Galatians 5:1, why go back to the slaveries that held you captive when you can be free in Christ? Free from those things that keep you from being your very best. As Steve's prayer pointed out today, we are living in difficult times. In the state of Virginia, there are riots and a lot of things happening that are hard to understand. Racial bigotry, statements and confrontations and people being hurt. We live in a world that is in need of the love of God. And we as a church cannot be silent in this hour. We as a church must proclaim Christ as the one who's not a respecter of people, but one who invites all people into a loving, loving relationship with God. We as a church must do our best to be our best, to be strong. Our program here in the church, Vision 2020, our vision for the future calls us to be our best. And in this day and in this hour, we can do nothing less. Let me close with this. I read a story written by Tom Miller about a personal experience of his. He was taking his family on a vacation when his daughter got sick. They were going to be going to SeaWorld. That reminds me of our own family. We were going to Knott's Berry Farm one time, and Hannah got sick. And we were in the emergency room. And this most recent summer, we went to Disneyland, and Hannah got sick again. Tom Miller says this. His daughter became ill. Going to the emergency room, they did various tests, CAT scan and MRI and so forth, trying to pinpoint what it is that was making her ill. And in the process, there's a good ending to the story, but he describes this. At one point, the doctor said, we have to do a spinal tap. We have to do that to find out something. And they said this to the little girl. You need to bend over, make a ball, and this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. And so the little 9-year-old girl bent over, and her dad, Tom Miller, holds her. And anticipating the pain, the girl begins to cry. Dad begins to cry. Their tears mix together as they hold each other. And the first poke from the spinal tap happens. And she says, Daddy. And as that continues, she says, Daddy. And each time she says, Daddy. And for Tom, it's breaking his heart because he wants to do anything he can to help his daughter. But through that, with each time she says, Daddy, and the tears are flowing, there is a bonding of the two of them. And what comforted him in that moment, in just a moment, he was overwhelmed with the feeling. God the Father and Jesus the Son have been through the same thing. With Jesus' death on the cross and Jesus calling to his heavenly Father, in those moments, it was the pain of the Son and the pain of the Father. Like the pain of the Father and this little girl receiving that treatment, we must never take the gift of God in Christ lightly. For a price was paid so that we can be free. A price was paid so that we can overcome sin. A price was paid that we might have spiritual liberty, love, and new beginning. We have a profound message to share. Let us, as the church, number 1, receive it, believe it, stand tall in faith like those receiving baptism, and know that God has a purpose for us, like he did for Paul. And God calls us to go out to the whole world. Let the church be vibrant. Let the church be joyful in that endeavor. Amen. Amen.